Good evening, ladies, gentlemen, theys, and gays. This is The Real Pineapple. This is your humble host, Hunter, here. Hope you're having a great night, day, weekend, whenever you're checking this out. I've got a review for Oppenheimer, which is written by Christopher Nolan, Kai Bird, and Martin Sherwin. It's also directed by Christopher Nolan and stars Cillian Murphy, Emily Blunt, Robert Downey Jr., Alden Ehrenreich, Scott Grimes, Jason Clarke. I think I'm even in this movie. So the movie, of course, is about J. Robert Oppenheimer and his humble beginnings, going through college and then being recruited by the United States government to go ahead and be the head, to go ahead and lead research on building the first atomic bomb due to what's happening overseas with the Russians. And okay, so let me just kind of, I'm going to be real honest with y'all. I'm not going to spend a ton of time on this review because, to be honest, I don't think this needs to be a super long review. I have talked a lot of shit about Christopher Nolan over the last five years especially. I really do think that what's that movie? I think Tenet's a piece of shit. No one will ever convince me otherwise. God, his or her self could come down and go, Tenet's great, and I'd go, like, I fucking hate Tenet. You will never change my mind on Tenet. I think that, why can I not, Dunkirk. I could not think of the name, could not think of fucking Dunkirk. I think Dunkirk is a really great film on a technical level. That's about it for me. I find it quite boring. And then I think Interstellar is a really good movie. I do have issues with how it just kind of lets McConaughey coast as far as being a shitty parent, you know, like, if you want to go ahead and be great, you have to be a shitty parent. I really kind of hate that message. And then Dark Knight Rises, you know, isn't great, but Nolan, you know, Memento, The Prestige, Batman Begins, which I hate to be that asshole. Actually, I don't. I love being that asshole, but Batman Begins is a better film than Dark Knight is, top to bottom. Sorry, but it is. And then, of course, Inception, I think, is fucking brilliant. So I'm mixed on Nolan, but the highs for Nolan are very high. If you are one of those people still going, like, how the fuck could you hate Tenet? The first time you have a person of color star in your film, you can't give them a name. Yeah, fuck off. You could call him John Doe. I don't want to hear that shit. Anyways, so going into this, I was very, like, all right. Like, it's 3 hours. Like, God damn it, does it really need to be 3 hours? And let me just get this out of the way. No, this film does not need to be 3 hours. You could cut 20 minutes. You might even be able to cut 30 minutes, honestly, from this and have it actually flow better. And if you're going to have a 3 hour runtime, there is something you need to address that this film doesn't, that I will get into. With that said, this film is really a showcase for Cillian Murphy. You know Cillian Murphy, of course, from playing Dr. Crane, a.k.a. Scarecrow in Batman Begins. You know him from Inception. You know him from 28 Days Later, Sunshine, which if you've not seen Sunshine and you love sci-fi and you dug Oppenheimer, I'd highly recommend Sunshine. Sunshine's an incredible fucking movie. I'm such a fan of Murphy's, and I'm really happy that he's at least getting Oscar, got an Oscar nomination. Well fucking deserved, despite some shortcomings that I have with this film. He's absolutely incredible in this. But just kind of jumping in here, I found the way that Murphy played Oppenheimer very tragic. He's a man with who wants to change the world. He wants to make the world better. And what I think is interesting about this film is that he constantly has people telling him that what he's doing is making the world better. And yet, where the film ends up, I mean, I'm not spoiling anything. This is based on true events. Like, I don't feel bad for spoiling shit on this. All right, people, like, you know, read a book. All right, this happened. What I'll say about this is where Oppenheimer ends up, I found really tragic, given what he does. And what I find really interesting is how it really does show how governments, really anyone in authority, we don't even have to limit it just to governments, but how they will go ahead and hang you on the hook for shit when shit, when public perception changes. And I think that was the thing I found the most tragic about this, because Oppenheimer is constantly being told, in particular, by Matt Damon's Colonel character in here. Leslie Groves, there we go. He is constantly just being told that, dude, what you're doing, you're making lives better for Americans. You are literally helping save America. And just, you see Oppenheimer's rise and fall. It's one of those things where you just go, God damn, this is tragic. And the way that Nolan paces it in that sense, I think it's very well done. My biggest issue with this movie is that it talks so much about Oppenheimer. And yes, I know it's called Oppenheimer. It really doesn't deal with the aftermath of the bomb well enough for me. There's no, like, even like a sizzle reel. And when I say sizzle reel, I'm not saying, like, I want to see, you know, aftermath footage of the bomb or anything like that. But even just a radio, message, or like a radio compilation, like a news compilation of stuff over the radio, would have been nice. And all of the aftermath of the bomb feels so much about Oppenheimer and not what the bomb actually did. And I think that really does undercut the film a bit. Yes, it is brought up during court case, but it's not even really that. I won't spoil that, but the way they kind of get into court but not having to be court, I thought was fucking brutal. Evil as fuck, by the way, but the way that all goes down. But I don't know. I found that look at the impact of the bomb, I felt was very lacking in that sense. And that's something that really did take away from a lot of the emotional impact for me. I mean, I watched Godzilla Minus One, and they're talking more about war in that, in the aftermath, and what can happen versus, you know, a 3-hour Oppenheimer film. I have an issue with that. Kitty Oppenheimer, who's played by the incredible Emily Blunt, you know, Emily Blunt from, you know, Mary Poppins Returns, Sicario, A Quiet Place, Devil Wears Prada, Adjustment Bureau, Edge of Tomorrow, just name a few. Her Oscar nomination fucking bothers me. It really bothers me, as a matter of fact, because, yeah, I get that she has this incredible speech near the end of the film, and when you see it, it is very much kind of a shakes you awake and goes like, yeah, don't forget, this is fucking Emily Blunt. But at the same time, for me, I think her character is such a plot device and not a fully fleshed out character. And I think that is just a case too of having so many moving pieces in this. I mean, just to go down the line, I know I talked about it a little bit, but Cillian Murphy, Emily Blunt, Robert Downey Jr., Alden Einrich, Scott Grimes, Jason Clark, Kurt Kohler, Tony Goldwyn, James Darcy, Ted King, David Krumholtz, Josh Hartnett, Florence Pugh, Sadie Stratton. There's so many goddamn people in this movie that I will say, I'm sure these people were, you know, told, hey, you're gonna have to shoot for a day or two. And they were like, oh, it's a Nolan film. You know, fuck yeah, I got this. But I do think that it does get a little watered down because there are so many people in this. I do want to talk about Robert Downey Jr., who plays Louis Strauss, who goes ahead and is working with Oppenheimer on this committee about the atomic bomb and everything. I think we can say post-MCU, just to bring up what he's done since then. So, you know, we get Avengers Endgame in 2019. Then we get Doolittle in 2020. And Robert Downey Jr. really went ahead and took a step back and wasn't acting. he was doing he was producing shit. So he like produced Perry Mason, which did get which got canceled, unfortunately. I was digging Perry Mason, by the way, but he went ahead and produced that. He produced that documentary Senior about his dad, which is really well done. He produced Sweet Tooth, which is on Netflix. And then he's been starring and producing on Downey's Dream Cars. But he really went ahead and took a step back from acting. And I'm really happy for him because outside the MCU, you look at The Judge, you look at Chef, you look at the Sherlock Holmes films, you know, you look at Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, Tropic Thunder, The Soloist, even Charlie Bartlett, which he's which I think he's great in. The motherfucker is an incredible actor. Like, and I was so happy that it felt like this might have, you know, revigorated him as far as acting. And I'm really excited to see what Rob Downey Jr. does next. And without spoiling it, there's a point at the end where Strauss just kind of loses his shit and just goes off. And oh my god, that is like some of the best acting Rob Downey Jr. has done in a decade. Like, he just, the way he, that gear just, that switch just flips. It's like, holy shit, okay, dude, like, calm the fuck down. It's fucking intense, and I would not be surprised if Rob Downey Jr. Wins Best Supporting Actor. Mark Ruffalo might have something to say about that, but I will save that for my pure Oscar predictions. Something else I want to point out. Okay, so I know everyone's making a big deal about, you know, Florence Pugh getting naked. Look, I love Florence Pugh. I love white girl boobs. I love boobs in general. Boobs are great. I think the way that it's shot is really exploitive. And I was really sitting there going, man, I don't feel like this needs to be here. There's even a point later on in the film where Emily Blunt's Kitty Oppenheimer is giving testimony, and she imagines Florence Pugh riding Oppenheimer. And I just went, you don't need this. This doesn't need to be here. And it really did feel exploitive. And something about Nolan that I've really found as far as him shooting sex, he almost shoots sex like he's ashamed of it. You know what I mean? Like it's something that should be, I don't want to say fear, but something that should be almost like forbidden. I just don't think he knows how to shoot sex at all. And so it always comes across very awkward for the most part in his films. And here it really came across awkward to me. Again, Florence Pugh, fucking gorgeous, huge fan. Never mind, I'm going to be good. But I just, it was one of those things I went, this doesn't need to be here. And I just, I don't know. With that said, the actual, and I think most people are saying this, but I'll bring it up too. The actual build up to the bomb. I love the way, like, they make this whole building of the atomic bomb. You feel the weight of it. You feel the actual weight of not just the bomb itself, but the weight of the actual production of getting this done. I love when Oppenheimer is talking to Strauss and explain, I think he's talking to Strauss and to Matt Damon's Groves, but he's saying, you know, we need the best of the best if we're going to catch the Russians and we're going to go ahead and get this done. So we need to build an actual town, you know, so that these scientists can bring their families. And it's a really, like, you feel the undertaking of this and how massive of a deal this is. And I think the film does an incredible job of really hammering that point home so that you never forget about the actual undertaking that's going on. I want to shout out the sound editor real quick, Randy Torres. The actual sound editing on the actual demonstration of the bomb is fucking incredible. I actually bumped it up, like, gave it extra brownie points for that, because everything, of course, is building up to that pivotal moment. And the way that that scene builds up and the sound editing was fucking pristine. That's an award that Oppenheimer should honestly win, is sound editing. Like, I was enthralled by that. And then, of course, shout out again, as usual, to Ludwig Göransson, who, you know, did the first couple Creed films, did Black Panther and Wakanda Forever. Motherfucker, so talented. He's always invited to the cookout. I thought his score was really well done here. I will say, too, I think Nolan, as far as dialogue, this is the most engaged he's been dialogue-wise probably since... Well, actually, definitely since Interstellar, but, like, the dialogue in here is actually, like, very witty and fun. Josh Hartnett, I haven't even mentioned him yet, but he plays Ernest Lawrence, and the way that him and Oppenheimer verbally joust with each other is fucking incredible. Like, that's actually some of my favorite stuff in the film, and Robert Downey Jr.'s dialogue. He delivers it exactly the way I'm sure Nolan envisioned it when he saw it on the script. Like, Robert Downey Jr. is incredible in this. And Murphy never loses the thread as far as Oppenheimer. Oppenheimer always feels very intense and yet remorseful and yet proud. And, like, he runs through the whole gamut of his emotions, and he does an incredible job doing it. And there's some screw jobs that are happening as far as some knives that are driven to his back that come back near the end of the film, including in a non-handshake with someone at the end that I just went, oh, that's fucking amazing, and I would have done the exact same thing. But yeah, this film, it's 3 hours, and I really don't feel like it needed to be. Killers of the Flower Moon, I think, falls into the same camp, being 3.5 hours, and yet I think that Killers of the Flower Moon is actually better paced than Oppenheimer is, for me, at least. I've talked some shit on this movie, but I did enjoy myself. You know, despite the runtime, despite some of my gripes, I still did enjoy it. It's not gonna crack my top 20 this year. I mean, I know I see more films than The Average Bear, but I think this is a really well done film. I watched it at home. Take that, Nolan. I watched it on my cell phone. I watched this on my my partner and I. We watched it on a 65-inch in the bedroom, and then I turned my Bose soundbar on. And I will say, like, it. Oh, man, the sound, the score is really well done. Like I said, the actual demonstration of the bomb is really well handled. But at the end of the day, this wasn't something that I was in love with. I thought it was really good. I understand why it's getting a Best Picture nomination, and even on, you know, the what the Academy looks at as far as the Best Picture, I'm not surprised it's getting a Best Picture nomination. And if someone were to tell me this is their favorite film of the year, I'd go, you know what, fine. Like, I get it. This is one of those sort of films that definitely, it fits the dialogue. And I mean that in the sense of, it's one of those, quote, real movies, unquote. Not like those indie flicks or those cape movies. Like, this is a real movie. Which, I fucking hate that whole discourse, by the way. If you're one of those people, fucking kick rocks. I fucking hate that shit. So, I was, you know, like, I was entertained. At the end of the day, that's all I can really say. There's a great scene when Oppenheimer is being recruited by Leslie Groves, and he, you know, straight up asks him, you know, what did you find out about me in your research? And he goes, you know, You're a dilettante, a womanizer, a suspected communist. I'm a New Deal Democrat. I said suspected. Like, that, even that little discourse and dialogue, I'm like, okay, Nolan, you're starting to feel... Because one thing that really pissed me off, I think it was during about Tenet. It was about Tenet. You know, Nolan was talking about, oh, sound editing doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter if you can hear the dialogue or not. And it's like, motherfucker, yes it does, you asshole. So... You know, when people were so quick to go, Nolan's a great filmmaker, I was always quick to go, He doesn't care about fucking sound or dialogue. Like, he can go fuck himself. It actually feels like Nolan got dragged through the mud, rightfully so, might I add, and that he had to actually come to terms with the fact that, oh yeah, sound does fucking matter. Maybe I should, you know, give a shit. And so I was actually happy to hear Nolan dialogue again that I was really, like, hearing. Like, it felt intense. It felt raw. It felt like it was moving the story forward. I love that. I was like, cool, good. I'm happy you're back in this bag. It's just not one of my favorite films of the year. So, with that said, I would still land on a... where would I go on this? I'd go B+ on this. I think a B+ is fair on this. Really did enjoy it. It's not something I will personally be in a rush to revisit, but I get why people love this movie. And, you know, if you love it, cool. That's awesome for you. Doesn't do it for me, but like I said, I did enjoy myself. So yeah, B+ for Oppenheimer. I think this is a really, really good flick. I won't be agitated if this wins Best Picture. I'll just kind of go, yeah, I kind of expected this. But anyways, Oppenheimer, have you seen it? What did you think of it? Let us know in the comments. You can go ahead and follow me, follow the show on YouTube. Like, share, subscribe, and rate the podcast. It definitely helps us out. Just search us on YouTube at The Real Pineapple. That's R-E-E-L, Pineapple. Go ahead and follow me on Blue Sky at Real Pineapple. R-E-E-L, Pineapple, again, .bsky.social. Got a question for the show? Have a review request? Just want to say hi? Shoot me an email at jhunter@therealpineapple.com. You can follow me on TikTok and Instagram at jhunterrealpineapple. And you can follow me on Letterboxd at Black Shazam. And you can follow me on Twitch at twitch.tv/therealpineapple. I will be hopping on there probably by the time you hear this, but I will be on Monday the 29th doing my honorable mentions for my best and worst of. That'll be at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And then Saturday, February 3rd at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, I'll be doing my top 10 best and worst of for 2023. I'm excited to bring that to y'all. But everyone, thank you so much for listening. Stay safe out there. Take care of each other. Give someone a hug. Give someone a compliment. We all need some more positivity in our lives. And never forget, as always, to keep it real.